Welcome to the Know Yourself podcast. I'm Dan Udell and I've been in the counselling world since I was about 20 years old. And I wanted to start this podcast because I wanted to promote self-awareness, mental resilience and mental toughness. The podcast will go through some of the experiences that I've had in my life and go through some of my backstory and my journey to help people understand the different things that can happen when you go through traumatic events, when you're changing as a person and growing and developing as part of the process of getting older and enjoying new life experiences and generally living day in, day in. Basically, the first point I wanted to start off on is my own background. When I was 16 years old, I was assaulted. And that was probably the pinnacle event in my life, really. The catalyst, as it were. I was walking through the park and I was minding my own business with a girl that I was probably interested in chatting up, and I heard shouting from across the canal. People were shouting stuff across to us. I think it was like swearing and kid stuff, and like I said, I was sort of 16 at the time, so you kind of just brush it off and carry on. I never really liked conflict, so just kind of ignored it, really. And we got to the sort of edge of the canal where it starts to meet in a river, and there's a bridge. And I was confronted by this guy, and he said, you know, I heard you've been saying things, and it wasn't true. And he said, well, you know, I think it is, so I'm going to fight you now. And I'd never really been in that situation, like, as a high schooler. And I was terrified, really. But before I could even think, I said, look, I'm not really interested. I had a fist in my face, and I was on the floor. And really, I was having the crap kicked out of me. And it was just moments went by. It was it seemed like it was going on for hours, but it probably wasn't. It was an adrenaline rush. I felt numb. I felt completely out of control and helpless. And I just sat there and took it, really. After it was all over, the guy kind of walked off. I think the sort of scuffle was getting some attention. And I just remember the adrenaline had taken over. And I ran and ran home. And whilst I was running, I noticed I felt something flapping against my leg. It was my trousers. They're all torn. And I just didn't take any of this in whilst it was happening. And really, what started to happen, you know, after the event was, it was fairly immediate, really. I found myself not wanting to go outside. It was quite a terrifying prospect of going out into the outside world. And I was told by the people around me, you know, it's good to get out. It's good to, you know, face your fear. And I did, and the next day I decided to go out and I went fishing, and I saw the guy that actually had assaulted me the day before, and I froze. And that was the first time in my life, in my conscious mind, I'd felt anxiety. And I just remember feeling sick to my stomach, sweating, looking for the nearest exit. How could I get out of this situation? And it was one of the most terrifying experiences of my life, almost reliving it. And that's how I experienced my life over the next sort of 4 years. So between 16 and 20, I was moving through life, not understanding this, you know, this event was reoccurring in my head, replaying almost. So it kind of stretched out to different areas of my life. That feeling of being out of control, financial, emotional, into my family life. It's strained relationships with my friends, because if I was out in a public space, like at the pub, for example, we go there and hang out as mates. If someone would come into the bar and I wouldn't like the look of them, my first reaction would be to leave. And that isn't a positive thing for a friendship, when you're there with friends and, you know, they're messaging and like, yo, like, where'd you go? And it's because I had to leave this. I felt like I had to leave the situation. And it was like that a lot of the time. You know, the symptoms would come on again. I'd get that sickening feeling in my stomach, and it felt like my blood was boiling. And it's that panic that takes over, where it's like, I've got to get out of this situation right now. I'd get really irate. I'd get really quite impatient. If I felt like I had to stay for some reason, I'd make up any excuse to leave. And I'd feel guilty for it as well. The guilt that I'd feel was like almost insurmountable. I'd go home and be so upset with myself that I had to leave. I'd be like, what's wrong with me? You know, what's wrong with me that I'm doing this? And it was quite a hard time. I was still at high school, like I say, at the time. I was actually taking my GCSEs around the time that this happened. So, you know, I don't even really remember sitting my exams, because the sort of the level of anxiety that I was holding on to was quite extreme at the time. Nevertheless, I went to sixth form and I chose the same school. So the school had a sixth form, so I stayed there. And I'd find myself after sixth form, 3:20 would come and we'd have to leave, and about an hour before, the anxiety would hit, because I knew I was going to be around lots of people in an open space, and those flight or fight symptoms would come back every single time. So I really struggled throughout my college life for the next sort of 2 years. So, you know, this is sort of like 17 and 18. Really not understanding what's going on and struggling and missing lessons towards the end of the day, because it was just easier than the alternative, sitting there and like stewing in this anxiety. It was, you know, I'm getting shakes even just thinking about it now. You know, it really got in the way like that. And I'm sure if any of you have ever felt like this, you'll know exactly what I mean. It can manifest itself in different symptoms, but for me, I get like a shakiness in my core, like my, you know, my well-being. I get like I say, my blood feels like it's on fire. It's like, or it's had electricity running through it, like my veins. I get like a sickness in my stomach. And that generally always comes around when I feel that way. So, yeah, really, due to me not being interested in college and sort of suffering with this anxiety and not knowing it was a problem, really, I didn't do very well in college, and it was kind of the best thing that happened to me in a way. It was quite freeing, quite liberating to go out into the big wide world and start working and building up confidence through interacting with people and understanding that not everyone is out to get you. So that was one of the biggest things that I learned. And it, like I say, it was that confidence of getting hands-on, learning something and not sitting and reading a book and taking an exam. It's real life, you know. Learning how to cash up a till, learning how to mop the floor and, you know, building up those sort of basic building blocks of life. And I was also lucky enough to get an apprenticeship, and that helped mould my personality a lot more as well. It made me self-aware. The guy I worked for was a business coach, so he was really into his self-development books, and I was lucky enough to read The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey, who is a brilliant man. And if you haven't read that book, you should give it a go. I've learned some valuable life lessons just through that book, and some of the metaphors he uses and stories from people he's interviewed are absolutely fascinating. So I implore you to check it out. And I remember reading it and thinking, like, just having all these different shifts in perspective. Like, he would call them paradigm shifts. And that's really important, because all these little shifts in perspective, they nudge you in a way. And all these little nudges, they almost add up to a big shove. And eventually you start achieving, you know, differences in your life. So I'd find that I'd be talking to people different, or I'd be reacting differently to how I might have reacted before. So these were the sort of basics I started to pick up. Like I said, I was lucky enough to work for this guy, and I was given these books for free. It was crazy at the time. I didn't really see it, what he was doing, what he was trying to teach me, but I'd pick up these books and I'd read them and absorb some of the content. I think that's what's played a part of me changing my mental state and, you know, my resilience and, you know, my mindset. It's definitely played a part in that. I always remember reading Flip It as well by Michael Heppel. It's a short book, a brilliant read. And again, it covers like some of these basic perspective shifts that can really help your life. And it's a very, very positive book as well. It's about looking about what you can do in the situation instead of, you know, dwelling on it. So check that book out as well, because that helped me. I was going through a really rough spot at the time, like financially and emotionally. And they gave me little sort of little glimmers of hope in what felt like an ocean of emptiness. Because I felt as though at the time I was struggling with, you know, I would say emotions that equate to a depression. I was struggling to get out of bed in the morning. I was turning up late to work. I looked like a mess. I probably smelled bad as well. Just generally not taking care of myself. And these are some of the hallmarks, if you're listening to this, of someone who's not taking care of themselves. And if you recognize this, it's something to address, because when you've got these basic needs that are met, you start to get to the next level of thinking. And once you're looking after yourself again, you start thinking, okay, I've buried my head in the sand a little bit about different things, let's start addressing them. And it's painful at first, but once you get your basics sorted, you've got a good foundation then. Okay, I'm feeling good because I've showered today. I'm feeling good because I'm not late today. I went to bed early and I didn't try and sit up all night and distract myself because I'm feeling crap about feeling crap. So these are some of the basics that I learned. You know, if I got my sort of 7 or 8 hours, you know, as difficult as it was to get to sleep, because I'd have quite bad nightmares, it was really, you know, once I got that in my head, I've got to start looking after my basic needs. It really definitely helped me. And it helped because I actually read a diagram, and it was in Stephen Covey's book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And it was Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And Maslow says, you've got your very, very basic needs, which is your survival needs. So food, shelter, water, hygiene. And once those basic needs are met, we go to the next level, which is like security, family, relationships. And it goes up a level again and again and again. It's about transcendence. And I remember reading that and feeling really empowered, like, right, this is like a checklist for me. If I stick to this, if I go through and think, right, if I genuinely audit myself in a way against this list, I can see where I'm at and go, right, okay, I need to improve on that, or, you know, I'm not doing that. And again, it comes back to self-awareness. You know what you know, right? But you don't know what you don't know. If it's hidden away, you're probably not going to do anything about it. Knowing is where the action occurs. If you know you're not looking after yourself, you're more likely to do something about it or tell someone, and that conversation is going to lead to you doing something because they back up what you're already feeling. Ah, yeah, you're right, you aren't looking after yourself. I can tell that something's been off the last few days. It kickstarts like motion and action, and these can be the things that can save your life when you're in those dark, desperate times. And I'll come on to that now. So, I was going through the motions. I was struggling with the anxiety. I felt like I was learning quite a lot about myself and about what I can achieve through these books. It was really helpful. And it all kind of came to a climax. I had left that job that I was doing my apprenticeship in, and I was working at a new sort of bigger company, sort of 500-600 people working there. And I remember it all just came to a climax. I was feeling like I wanted to end my own life. I didn't want to be here. You know, a car would go past the house, or I'd be sat waiting for a bus. And I'd have these visions pop in my head where I'm like, what if I just stepped out in the road? What if I just lay on the train tracks? Or what if I grabbed all those paracetamols and I was almost crippled with the stress that I felt or perceived from my job at the time? And like I say, I wasn't doing too great financially either. And it all just came at the same time and hit me in this wave. And this unbelievable burden felt like it was on my shoulders. And I knew that day it was either I choose to live or choose to die, basically. And I'd remembered a conversation that I'd had with my dad couple of weeks before, and he said to me, I've noticed that you're different. And this is how you know the people that are really looking out for you, by the way, when you're in these deep dark spots. And he said, I've noticed a difference in you. And I was like, all right. And he just said, yeah, I can tell you're having a real tough time, you're struggling, you're sort of a shell of your former self. And he said, I think you should go have counselling. And it surprised me. I didn't expect it. I was almost offended when I heard it as well. I need counselling. What's wrong with me? What are you trying to say? It was all these kind of feelings. My ego was kind of like spouting it out. So initially I'd rejected it in my head. You know, maybe I said like, oh, I'll think about it. But probably not. And like I say, fast forward 2 weeks, and I'm outside, you know, outside the building where I work, almost having this kind of breakdown, this kind of like crisis. I'm stood by the bike shed, and I've got people walking past me, like, oh, hi, how are you doing? And I'm like, yeah, struggling with life or death over here, but yeah, I'm good. And yeah, I remembered what he'd said. And literally pulled out my phone. I don't know what overtook. I don't know what part of me I think it was the part that wanted to live, took over, and I went on the counselling directory website and I picked the first name that looked friendly and familiar. And I called them up. I didn't get an answer, so I left a voicemail. And I got a call back and I booked my first session. And it was really then that my life started to change. That was another catalyst. At first, going along to the sessions, it was awkward and I felt selfish for talking about myself for an hour with a complete stranger. But it was weird. I felt comfortable telling this person my deepest, darkest secrets. And little by little, each session, which I totally couldn't afford at the time, by the way, I started to break down these walls and understand where my anxiety came from. And I just remember one of the biggest truths that I learned from reflecting. So going away from the session and thinking about what we'd spoken about. You know, I'd be walking somewhere, or reflection can happen at any time. You might find that you do it when you're washing up. That's when I sort of find that I do it. Really, when your brain can almost switch off, but switch on that reflective space at the same time. I've always been quite a thoughtful person, and, you know, I think a lot about different people's emotions and my own, and I like to explore it. So these sessions would sort of probe and raise different things within me that I might not have addressed before. So I'd go away and think about those. And I just remember thinking about the one thing that I was kind of told in the session. And I remember this like clear as day. And I remember saying, how long am I going to feel like this for? You know, when is this anxiety going to go away? You know, I feel absolutely crippled by it. And it's just got such a hold over my life. I was desperate to get rid of it. Almost as if it was like, you know, like a bad smell or a bad penny. Almost not realising that it was a bigger part of me. And my counsellor said to me, she said, in all likelihood, you'll have this for the rest of your life. And I remember feeling absolutely devastated by hearing that. It was so painful to hear. But also empowering. And empowering because it took me a few weeks to address it. But when you know something's there, and it's probably going to be there for the rest of your life, you kind of address it in a different way. You go, all right, it's there, but how can I manage it now? How can I mould it so that it's a smaller thing? Or how can I mould it around what I already do? Or how can I absorb it and make it a part of me? And I guess that this podcast is a little bit of that. It's me transcending, understanding and coming to terms with it. So I'm 25 now. I've had a good 5 years to understand this, and I'm still, you know, it doesn't go, but I'm getting better each day. I'm in control of it now instead of it being in control of me. I set the terms on when I feel bad about things or when I feel good about them. I'm in control emotionally, not the anxiety. And that's what you can learn too. And really what I want is a discussion about this, and just to get the awareness in your head. And even if it's listening to this and going, gosh, someone else has been through this as well. Unbelievable. Because I remember feeling at the time that I was the only person in the world that felt this way. And when I had someone talk to me that I felt genuinely understood me, it was a relief. It warmed my heart to be able to come along every week and talk about it. And I know I'm not there to talk about it with you, but I understand. And hopefully through hearing that someone has come out the other side, it'll give you hope as well. And even if it's just understanding a loved one or a friend that is going through this and you're not understanding what it is that they're going through, you know, it's hard to dig up that empathy. What, you want to go? Like, we're just in a pub, like, you know, it does make sense almost. And it doesn't really make sense to the person it's happening to. But it's very real. You know, in the way that you get a broken leg or a broken arm and it immobilises you from certain activities, the anxiety is almost the same. It immobilises you from almost life. It creates this kind of, you know, cocoon that, like, crushes you. And it's quite painful. So, like I say, I started to really manage the anxiety and make it part of me instead of, you know, it being some sort of affliction and oh, I'm the victim of something. No, I'm proud of what's happened. I look back now and I go, that is that thing that happened to me when I was 16 that really messed me up. That was the best thing that ever happened to me because I am better off now than I ever would have been if that day hadn't happened. I'm proud of that. And I'm training to be, you know, in the field of counselling and psychology because of it. Because of the impact that counselling has had on my own life. I want to make that change for other people. And, you know, I want to bring mental health into the forefront of people's minds. And I want to talk about mental resilience. You know, I want to talk about empathy. I want to talk about these different things because it's important. It is literally, for some people, the difference between life and death. And some people won't have the conversation because they're not sure if they're ever going to be understood because these emotions that they're feeling are so complex, so knotted, so, you know, twisted that it's, you know, how do I ever unravel this to someone else? So, if there's anything to take away, it's listen to my story. If it resonates with you, then that is good enough for me. That just, if that makes you feel like you're not alone, then this is worth the 28 minutes, 22 seconds that I've been recording this, or however long it's been. You know, and my plan is to do more of these. I want to talk about the different tools that have helped me, you know, different books that I've read, different ways of thinking about things when bad things happen to me, how to deal with stress in the workplace, because I know a little bit about that now. You know, anxiety, depression, what it's like to be in a circle of friends and navigating that when you're dealing through this and growing and changing. What is growth and change? All these different areas I want to address. But most importantly, most importantly, it's that insight. It's the self-awareness that is the most important thing. Without that, you can't do anything. And you will get sick to death of hearing it. And I get sick to death of hearing it. But then I go, no, it is the most important thing. Because if I didn't know, then I wouldn't have done anything about it. And that's what you're going to learn. I promise you. And you're not alone. And you're not the only person that is ever going to go through it. you're the only person that's going to go through your particular set of circumstances because you're the only you that's ever going to exist. But you're not alone, is what I'm trying to say. So this has been my first podcast, and I'm Dan Udell. This is Know Yourself. Until next time, see ya.